Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
What to shoot for in 2025? Let me give you one thing. Here, how about a different perspective about God's Word? I thought Dwayne did a great job on Sunday talking about this. And so I want to, it's good, Dwayne, you got four people. Therefore, ridding yourselves of all moral filth and the evil that's so prevalent, humbly receive the implanted Word, which is able to save your souls, but be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. He talks, this is James writing, and James is talking, and he really helps us gain a different perspective of God's Word. It's said to put away anything that God sees as evil or unclean. There's a lot of, I don't have to tell you, but there's a lot of impurity that's out there. And it's boy, it'll smack you in the face. And it's hard to escape from. But the Bible says we get to put it away. And it said, receive God's Word with humility. In other words, we don't kick back against it. So we're talking about taking a different perspective of God's Word, that we want to be able to receive what it says and receive it humbly, meaning I'm not just going to kick back on it. I'm going to receive it. Because it has the ability to do this. God's Word can restore and heal your soul. I'm more convinced than ever that when people talk about mental health, if they understood the power of God's Word to heal them, they'd be in it more, realizing that God's Word has the ability. Now, here's what we don't need to get. Don't get hung up on, well, how is that exactly going to happen? You realize there's a lot of things we do that we don't know exactly how it's going to happen, but we still do it anyway? I don't know anything about cars. I'll just be very honest with you. I know to get in, start it, and go fast. That's what I know. I couldn't tell you how an engine runs. Now, I'm sure if I dug around and I could find out. I don't care. As long as it starts and it goes, I'm happy. I don't have to know everything about it. I have to know everything about how a brown cow can give white, eat green grass and give white milk. I don't even care. And so a lot of times we get hung up on, well, how's that going to happen? Here's what I believe. I believe if we begin to feed on God's Word, it will cause light to come into our spirits, and it will impact our mental health as well. It restores our soul. And I can tell you of people that I've known that have just, who have come out, especially who have, people who have come out of in the 70s, a lot of people in the 60s and 70s did way more drugs than they should, and it messed with their head. I know you're thinking about people right now. Just look straight ahead, don't look around. But it did in the 60s and 70s, were especially some of the psychedelic drugs that were around a lot more popular then, and people didn't, and people got messed up. And I've heard testimony after testimony about people who've come in and they just simply sat under God's Word. They begin to read God's Word, and their minds begin to snap back and come into place. God's Word's more powerful than we think it is. And if we'll just go ahead and buy into that, especially if you're dealing with mental torment, and if you just feel like I'm so tormented, I'm so anxious, I'm so worried, I'm going to give you something. It sounds very simplistic, but it will work. Begin to open God's Word and read it out loud. And then read it again. And you can take a chapter and you can read it again, and you can read it again, and you can read it again. You go, well, I've already read that, but that's what your mind is telling you. You just keep reading again. I promise you, it'll start to click with you, and it'll register, and it will feed your spirit, and it will heal your soul and restore your soul. And your mental capacities and abilities can actually become heightened and better. Because there's so much clutter going on and around and surrounding us. Man, when we get our minds clear and sharp, it'll help you. And so take a different perspective of God's Word. You say, well, Alan, do you have scripture for that? I do. It's right here. Proverbs, my son, pay attention to my words. Listen closely to my sayings. Don't lose sight of them. Keep them within your heart, for their life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Guard your heart above all else, for it is the source of life. It will feed you. I know sometimes people say, well, you know, Alan, I don't have time to read my Bible, or I just, you know, I'm too busy. You're not. No, honestly, you're not. You're not that busy. It's a function of priorities, and it's a function of discipline, of just saying, I'm going to do something that's profitable for me. I'm going to do something that helps me. And I know people say, well, yeah, Alan, I read the Bible. I don't understand everything I read. Neither do I. And I'm a pastor. Now, if that disappoints you greatly, I'm sorry. But here's the deal. The more you read, and the more you see, and the more you walk in it, the more you come to understand. And if you'll just stay in His light, we see light. And so if you'll stay in it, it will help you. Remember, we're talking about end of the year, getting ready to go into next year. If you take a different perspective of God's Word, there's a lot of things that I can tell you that are going to help you in the upcoming year. Oh, we can lose weight, you can exercise. This will help you more than anything else. And this will make such a difference in your life. So take a different perspective, begin to go that way. Now, here's something that I want to talk about tonight, and I do have time. Good. I want to talk about purposing to practice. To practice means to do or perform something repeatedly in order to acquire or polish a skill. I like the idea of practice because practice takes this win-lose concept out of the equation. To try, it doesn't mean try a couple of times and give up. Practice is a different from perfection. The idea is improvement. And we're going to be talking about practice. So I'm going to keep this idea of improvement. In the after World War II, the Japanese economy was pretty much destroyed. It was flattened. And there was a man named Edward Deming. Anyone heard of Deming? Deming, who was a not well-received, he was a brilliant guy, and he had some theories about management and about production that the Americans just didn't jump onto. So he goes over to Japan, and they bought it. Their economy was flattened out. They're like, we need any kind of help we can get. And he began to sell them on the idea of what he called continuous improvement. That if you can make just a little bit of improvement and do it on a continual basis, that after a period of time, you're going to be really there. Now, some of you, this will date some of you, but how many of you can remember back when the term made in Japan signified something that was cheap? And not, well, some of you look at me like you're crazy. No, in the 50s and 60s, which was way before my time, but in the 50s, and I'm lying, but it was in the 50s and 60s, made in Japan was synonymous with cheap. But they began to get hold of this continuous improvement mentality. And they begin to just get better, and they begin to get better. And in the 70s, they begin to cut into the American car market. And in the 80s, they were hurting Ford so much that Ford, who was just bleeding money, brought in this same Deming and began to change their whole manufacturing procedure. So why are we talking about the economy? Because we're talking about continuous improvement. One of the things we have to get a hold of is doing God's word is not win-lose, it's improve. This whole Christian life is a walk. It is not something that you're just like, well, I tried that and I couldn't. No. If you tried it and you fell, you get back up and you go again and you get better and then you get better and you get stronger and you get stronger and the things that used to bother you don't bother you as much and you get better. Continuous improvement. I think, listen, if it worked for the Japanese economy, it can work for us. It can work for us spiritually. So this idea of improvement, practice is different from perfection. The idea of improvement without practice, the Bible says, is really we're fooling ourselves. Remember, we read that in James. He said, but be doers of the word and not hearers only. I like this, be practicers of God's word and not hearers, or you're only kidding yourself. Now, we understand development. We understand children develop. We expect kids to develop. We expect that if your child is 8 years old, you shouldn't be, unless there's something going on, you should not be carrying your 8-year-old in here. They should be able to walk on their own. Am I talking to the wrong group? Did I happen to catch some helicopter parents out there who still carry their 8-year-old in? No, guys, you're 8. How many of your 8-year-olds can walk? They can do a lot of things. You know, generationally, my dad used to tell me about when he was 8 or 9 years old, And he actually worked during the summers to make money for his family. He pushed an ice cream cart around Noonan, Georgia. So, you know, how are you going to top that? Thanks, Dad. You're nine. I know you were 9 years old, and you pushed an ice cream cart. Great. But I'm just telling you, like, kids were expected to do more back then. And so the idea is you expect kids to develop. You expect athletes to develop. And the idea is practice. I've told the story before. It makes sense to tell it again. I grew up in North Carolina. It's a basketball country. They love basketball like Texas loves football. I don't think North Carolina's ever, ever won any kind of national championship in football, and probably never will. But in basketball, they win. You got Carolina, you've got Duke, you've got NC State. You got a lot of good teams there. And so I grew up loving basketball. My dad was 6'4". I thought there would be a growth spurt that would come my way one day, until they told me at 58 that my father was not my biological father, and it all made sense. I'm probably very tall for whatever side of the family I came from. But I was playing basketball. I wanted to play basketball. When you play basketball, how many of you know you don't shoot from here? If you shoot, they used to call this a set shot. But when you're little, you can't even get it to the goal. So you're shooting from here. I got pretty good shooting from here. But when I went to a basketball camp, they said, look, if you want to play basketball, if you want to be good at basketball, you got to learn to shoot above your head. So if you ever watch any NBA college ball players, no one shoots from here. Everyone shoots from above their head. Well, when you first start shooting from above your head, the ball flies all over the place. And you can't get it, and it feels awkward. And so you just don't try it a couple times and go, I give up. What do? You practice. So you get in practice. And my mom said she could still hear when she was alive. She said, I would go to sleep sometimes, and I could still hear the basketball bouncing at night and hear you shooting. And I would be out in the backyard. It turned out to be a pretty good shot. And I could shoot, but I learned to shoot above my head. It was a practice. I didn't try it a couple times and give up. And this is where we have to understand with God's word. We don't try it a couple times and give up. We develop. Spiritual development is just as real. 1 Corinthians, 3rd chapter. Paul was writing to the church at Corinth. He said, dear brothers and sisters, when I was with you, I couldn't talk to you as I would to spiritual people. I had to talk to you as though you belonged to this world or as though you were infants in Christ. I had to feed you with milk, not with solid food, because you weren't ready for anything stronger. And you still aren't ready, for you're still controlled by your sinful nature. Now, other translations, you're still controlled by your flesh. That's the fleshly nature. You're jealous of one another and quarrel with each other. Doesn't that prove you're controlled by your sinful nature? And aren't you living like people of the world? So here's Paul. He's writing this church at Corinth. Church at Corinth, they came out of the Las Vegas of their day. Corinth was a party town. I mean, there were some things that went on in Corinth that really needed to stay there. And it didn't need to go outside. It was well known for just being especially a sexually immoral city. And just they had the priest in the temples there. They had temple priestess, and it was prostitution. I mean, it was rampant. And so but they responded to the gospel. And when they responded to the gospel, they got saved, but they're still doing some of the same stuff. And Paul's writing to them. He said, I couldn't talk to you as spiritual people. He said, I had to talk to you like infants in Christ. Listen, anyone who gets born again is, if you got born again at 75 years old, in Christ, you're still an infant. You have to grow and develop. And Paul expected them to grow and develop. He didn't write them and go, you're hopeless, you're doomed to failure. He said, He said, I wanted to feed you with something stronger. He said, but I couldn't feed you with anything stronger than milk. He said, you couldn't handle it. He didn't say, and you never will be able to. He's implying, come on, guys, you got to grow up. He said, you're acting like unspiritual people. Actually, one translation said, you're acting like mere unchanged men. Now, how many of you know that after we come to Christ, the idea is that we just don't put it on cruise control and just wait till we get to heaven and go, hey, I'm here. The objective is let's grow, let's develop, let's change. And so Paul is writing to them going, come on. He said, I wanted to talk to you like spiritual people. He said, but I had to talk to you like, like babies in Christ. But it doesn't mean we can't grow and develop. We want children to grow and develop. We want to grow and develop in our skills and abilities. We still need to be able to grow and develop spiritually. And that's still something that's important, still something that we need to do. And so how do we do it? So he was talking to them about what does spiritual development look like. Now, we're going to jump to Peter. Paul was talking to them, to the Corinthians, and he says, okay, I'm going to have to feed you with milk. If you read Corinthians, there's some parts in there I'm like, whoa, that's milk? That's pretty strong stuff. Now Peter's talking. And Peter is talking in 2 Peter. Peter says this. This is out of the NLT. He says, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. That's encouraging. It is. It's like, is this on? Yeah, good. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. Look at this next one. In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith. So he's already saying you've got faith. He said, supplement your faith, and I want you to look at these things. Here are seven things we want to pay attention to. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection or brotherly kindness, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop in this area, it doesn't mean, and catch that, those who fail to develop. He didn't say those of you who don't, just you got left out. This is talking about development. But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they've been cleansed from their old sins. This is, Joy and I have talked about this passage, and I've told her, I said, I don't know why, and I'm just as guilty of it, I don't know why we haven't taught on this enough. Because it's the implications of this are huge. He said, if you begin to grow and develop in these things, he says, it makes us to be fruitful and productive in our knowledge of the Lord. So people say, I want to know the Lord. This is the way we can do that. And so this is, I just want to give you, there's seven things here. And as we talk about goals for 2025, I want to give you seven areas that you can shoot for and work on. Now you may listen to a couple of those and go, I'm doing pretty good in those areas. But I'm not doing good in this area. Don't get discouraged on this. Just use this as I can get better. In this. I can improve in this. And improving is wonderful. I love what it says in 2 Peter 1:10. This is a continuation, but this is out of the ESV. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election, for if you practice these qualities, the ones we just read, you'll never fall. You catch that? You never fall. I don't know about you. I don't like falling. I don't like tripping up. I don't like stumbling. But it says if we begin to practice these, this can keep us from doing that. And so I think they're worth looking at. So let's take a look at seven areas that we can grow in, seven areas that we can develop. Now, again, here's the word. The word is practice. Remember we said practice? And practice makes better. So we're talking about improvement, areas we can improve. The first one is this. Moral excellence. Depending on what translation you read, yours might read virtue. We don't use the word virtue as much anymore, but we read moral excellence. Moral excellence is keeping pure in what we consume and how we act. If you have challenges with your morals, if you have challenges with being morally excellent, the first place to check is what you're looking at and what you're thinking about. And guys, girls, We're bombarded by stuff today. It used to be years ago, I'm going to date myself again. It used to be years ago that if you wanted to see pornography, you had to go across town to the wrong side to an adult bookstore. And you didn't want to be seen walking in there. And now it's right in our living room. As soon as you open your iPad, your laptop, your phone, it's there. And you have to practice going, no, not going to look at it. No. And the more you say no, the more you practice no, the stronger you get. We're not condemning anyone. We're talking about improvement. And people deal with this. They estimate 70% of the Christians, 70% deal with pornography. That's a high number. And I will tell you this, it will mess with you. Science has proven it has no good lasting benefits. In fact, it takes you down. Moral excellence. Practice. Practice saying no. Knowledge. Knowledge of God's word and ways. You're on Wednesday night. You're practicing this on Wednesday night. You're practicing knowledge. You're practicing learning more about God. We'll never exhaust the knowledge of God. You'll never get to the place where you know everything. In fact, sometimes I've heard people say, the more I know, the more I realize, the more I don't know. And so it's a continuous thing. I'm still learning. I'm still doing. You know, when I was doing devotionals, and I do them every day, Joy has told me I'm going to continue to do them. She says you do better when you do them every day. And you know, actually, there in the Old Testament, there's a message to kings, and for kings, they tell kings, it said to get a copy of the book and write down the scriptures. He said it'll keep your heart in the right place, keep you from being lifted up against your brethren, and it just keeps you in the right. So every day is good. And doing devotionals every day, I'm just amazed at how I can read something and go, I just never have seen that before. God's word's alive. And man, there's just some good stuff there. So we're always going to be learning and growing. Next year, if you come and go, I've heard all Alan's stories, I know all of them. No, I'll have new stories next year. Or I'll just make some up. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. Here's the third one. You like those two? Here's the third one. Self-control. We're talking about having a better year in 2025. How many of you know self-control will help you? The ability to say no. They've done studies. You ever hear that study about the child where they sit them down in a room with a marshmallow in front of them and they tell them, now, if you don't eat this for 5 minutes, you'll get 2 marshmallows. And they've done studies and they found that the children who can delay that and wait and get the 2 marshmallows, they've tracked them. They seem to do better. They do better in school. They do better because the principle of self-control is helpful. It's a disciplined life. And self-control, the ability to say no. Now, listen. All of us have to practice this. Now, I tell you, this is a time of year that's a little tough for me. I have a sweet tooth. Don't look at me like I just have some horrible sin, all right? I used to do drugs, now I have a sweet tooth, all right? And I like candy, and I like pie, and I like cookies. And if it's chocolate, I'll eat it. Milk, not dark. So, do I have any milk chocolate fans in here? Thank you very much. Okay. All you dark chocolate folks, I know you're healthier, but I don't care. There are times when I recognize my eating is getting out of control. Now, this screen tells a lot. You're kind. You don't tell me to my face. But when you leave, you're like, Pastor Allen's been eating good lately, hasn't he? Brother's been munching down pretty good. No, so we're Southern. We don't say it to our face. We wait till you're gone. But there are times when I just simply have to go, no, no more sugar. And I'll go off sugar for a while. Why? It's just a practicing self-control. And as soon as I do, In fact, Sherry, one of our new employees, she met me coming down the steps. She said, "Would you like to try one of my cookies?" I went, no. I said, "What's in them?" She's like, "White chocolate and cherries." I'm like, "Hey." But I've already said no. So I'm practicing self-control. Does it always feel good? No. Is this a good time to do it of the year? No, it's a horrible time to do it. But it's a practice. And so learning to say no is self-control. Patient endurance. Number four, to persevere. It's a bearing up under circumstances. It's not throwing in the towel. You just don't quit. You just keep going. Well, and I feel like I've messed up. Don't quit. Practice, keep going. I just feel like I'm such a horrible Christian. You're not. You're learning. You're growing. My pastor used to say this all the time. I loved it. He said, "You're not a failure, you're a learner." And so we're not learners. We have a growth mindset. We can always get better. We can always grow. Patient endurance. Godliness. Godliness, I always wonder what godliness is. So let me see if this definition helps you. It's a devotion and awareness of God. It's a devotion to God and an awareness of God. So a godliness. You say, "Well, how do I create an awareness of God?" Here's something you may want to try to help me. Psalms 34. "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord, and the humble will hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." So a way to develop more of an awareness of God is that you praise him. "Thank you, Lord. I bless you. You don't have to do it out loud, but you can just do it as you're driving to work. You can do it when you're just walking around your house. "Thank you, Lord. I bless you, Lord." What are you doing? Creating an awareness of God. And making the boast in the Lord. Notice how many people talk about themselves. Switch the conversation. Talk about how good the Lord's been. Amen. And people will, now here's the deal. The humble, however you want to say it, the people with humility will hear it and they'll be glad. They'll hear it and go, "Yeah, he is good." People without humility will go, "Well, you deserve it and you tried hard." Time. The Lord's good. And if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't even be here. So I'm just so grateful for him. I make my boast in the Lord, and then I magnify the Lord. I can magnify problems. I'm going to magnify how good God is and bless him and thank him. God's good. So that's just a quickie, but that's bless and boast and magnify. It helps you with godliness. Brotherly kindness. I'll give you a scripture with this. Romans 12:10. "Be kindly affectionate," that's brotherly kindness to one another, brotherly love. Greek word is Philadelphia. "And honor giving preference to one another." It's just thinking about someone besides yourself. Thinking about someone else. You know the biggest complaint we get at our church? Biggest one. It's not the music. It's not the preaching. It's not the facilities. The biggest complaint we get, and people who blast us on social media, or when we ask people to take their crying or loud child out of the auditorium. That's the biggest complaint we get. Now, here's the deal. That's really Christianity 101. Your child, we love kids. We have 5 places around this church where you can watch with your child and they can scream to their heart's delight. And no one's gonna change. And we have a nursery that's first rate and protected. We love kids. We've made allowances for kids. So we're not telling people you leave and you got to leave the church, but people do it all the time. They get mad. They stalk out. Here's the deal. Your child, you love your child. We love your child. We understand, my child, they're not bothering anybody. Well, one, we're a polite society. Very few people are going to go, "Hey, lady, get the kid out of here." Typically not in church. That's not going to happen. We have had people, when people have left, we've had people look at our ushers and go, but here's the big thing. What about people who are struggling with God? What about people who are really coming to a place where they realize, "Man, I need God," or "I need to get back in touch with God," and then something goes off and they get distracted and it goes. So here's the deal, guys. We love your kids, but if they're distracting people, we're going to ask them to leave and go out. And we're okay with that because we think that's brotherly kindness. It's thinking about someone else. We love your children. But if you take your kids right now to a movie and they start to cry, they will ask you to leave the movie. Am I right? Well, you say, well, you paid to go in the movie. People pay with their time. You've come in here, you could have stayed home and watched, but you came in here. You deserve to be able to watch it without being distracted. Does that make sense? Yes. Brotherly kindness, preferring someone else. Hey, my child doesn't bother me, but it may bother the guy at the end of the row. Say, are you ever going to... All the people clapping are people who don't have children. Yes, that's a great idea. We could take Christina anywhere. We could not take Matthew anywhere. We could not take Michael anywhere. Michael has a voice that cuts steel, and he talks through everything. And so we couldn't take it. Brotherly kindness says we're considerate of other people. That's brotherly kindness. We're going to practice it. And if you come back next year, guess what? We're still going to be practicing that. We still believe it. Here's the last one, the God kind of love. And in Corinthians 13:13. Now abide, faith, hope, and love. These three. Greatest of these is love. We love you. We are praying for you. We're believing God's best for you. That's going to be a great year in 2025. Here are seven areas that you can focus on. Seven areas. And here's the deal. Jesus is the epitome of every one of these. The epitome of moral excellence, the epitome of knowledge, the epitome of self-control. He was the epitome of perseverance. He was the epitome of godliness, of brotherly kindness, and of love. The more you practice that, the more you begin to realize this is how Jesus is. This is his nature. And we're becoming more like him. Would you bow your head with me for a moment? If you are here this evening or you're watching online and maybe you're one of the ones that I just define as struggling with where they are with God or struggling in their heart about, man, I need the Lord or I need to come back to him. We're going to say a prayer. I'm not going to have you stand up or come to the front if you're online. I can't see you. But we're going to pray this prayer. His heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If that's you that I'm talking to and you say, Alan, I know I need the Lord or need to come back to him, would you pray for me? Slip your hand up just real quick across this auditorium. We're not going to embarrass you or make you call you out. Thanks. Thanks. Thank you. Appreciate that. Thank you for your courage. Yeah, got you. Got you. Thanks. You put your hands down. We're going to pray. Maybe you didn't lift your hand. You wanted to, but you didn't. But you can pray this with us. We're going to pray this out loud. This is a heart prayer. You pray it out of your heart. We're going to pray it with you online. If you're by yourself, pray it out loud. If you're with others, pray it quietly. Here, we're going to pray it with you. Say, dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. Heads are still bowed. Father, thank you for those that prayed that prayer, those that lifted their hands, those that are online, who've come back to you. What a great time to do it. During this Christmas season, the time we think about you the most, thank you for this time. We ask, Father, that you would encourage them, strengthen them, and help them grow and develop in every way. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.